Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremble of corn, the feminine ambition, reaching my threshold, staring at the tree till I'm blind. Hello, boys and girls, and ghouls and gals, and creepy things that go twinkly, dinkly, dinkly, roo, and other words besides that kind of rhyme and maybe do. It's been a little while since I've done an episode like this. This is going to be one of those laid back and just chill and chat about stuff episodes. Because, you know, I've watched a bunch of movies and TV shows over the last little while and haven't had a time or opportunity to talk about them. So tonight, I'm going to talk about stuff that I've seen over the last couple of months, actually. So I wanted to check in to see whether or not everybody's doing okay out there in COVID land. I mean, I know it's been a stretch and a difficult time for many people. All sorts of various different obstacles, I think would be the appropriate word to use, that kind of make it difficult for people to do things, do other things. This is why I love being able to have a radio show, because I can come in here and just talk about shit. Good stuff, bad stuff, whatever. It's like it's a variety of stuff. But tonight, I have a special guest who's going to be on. He shares the airwaves with me every once in a while. He's like, I'm Microscurl. I'm here to tell you all that the world is wonderful, but only if you put enough Kool-Aid in your cup and then mix it with a little bit of whiskey and then maybe a little bit of some other stuff like fruit juice. I don't know. It's like, what kind of fruit juice you like? It's depending on really the type of person you are. I particularly like orange juice and apple juice, which really mixes quite effectively and well with whiskey. But we won't go into a lot of that because this is a family show. Mostly a family show. I don't know which family members watch it, listen to it, but there's a variety of them that I know. It's like, and that was Microscurl. He'll be on every once in a while giving his opinions on a few things, because you know that he's just like that. He will interpret and interrupt and create all kinds of interesting segues or other things and interesting other elements of all that sort of thing. So tonight, we're going to start off with a number of trailers. I'm going to start off with this one, which I really enjoyed.
For centuries, we've been fighting and keeping track of different things that move in and out of this world. The most dangerous ones, we find a way to contain. This is one of the worst ever.
Mom. Can you hear me? I demand to speak with my mother.
I am mother.
My body is a cage.
It's mom. The thing that's got a hold of her. It's gotten stronger.
This family's unnatural behavior. I've never experienced anything like it.
Happened to them. It wasn't some random family tragedy. Their father was evil. And mother cursed him for discovering the truth.
There are other forces at play here. A demon so powerful, it could wipe out all of mankind. We can't do this alone.
If we put them together now,
there will be blowback.
Please tell me the is dead.
My body is a...
You come crawling back. Looking for mommy's love.
My body is a...
The last thing the world needs is a Hellstrom family reunion.
So that is from a lovely show called Hellstrom, which is an interesting fun fact that it's one of my favorite characters in Marvel Comics,
And from what I understand, it plays on Hulu. And the reason it's playing on Hulu is one of the Marvel MCU, actually not so much MCU, but it is Marvel Universe. It is too dark to play on Disney Plus. So apparently, and Disney apparently owns Hulu, so it's like, oh, okay, that makes interesting. So you can have stuff that you wouldn't play on Disney Plus over here play on Hulu, and then you can have the Disney safe family stuff play over there on Disney Plus. Look at that. Best of both worlds. Two different options, two different multiple kinds of combinations of things to go. Woo! Now, an interesting fact, perspective, whatever word you want to choose to use on it, is the name Hellstrom has been, in the comic books, there was a period in time where it was Hellstorm, and then it was a period in times where it became Hellstrom. So, I guess, more than likely, that the powers that be decided to make it Hellstrom in order to make it not sound so hellish, because it's a Hellstorm. Yeah, I'm not going to argue on the Lockerjuke on that either, but that was a fun fact that I always picked up, because I have all the comic books. Well, not some of the first ones, because those are hard to get right now. So as a character, Hellstrom, whichever you want to call it, is the son of Satan. And that's how it originally started in the comic books. So the original, like, 14-issue run, Son of Satan, has a variety of guest appearance characters and first appearance characters and stuff that are just like, wow, that's just like awesome. And many of those individual issues are worth a fair bit of money if you are a collector who collects for the sake of money. I don't collect for the sake of money. I collect because I like stuff. So, interestingly enough, this particular show is not like the comic book in that in the comic book, Hellstrom is a little bit more, hey, fiery hair, got a trident that burns and stuff. And it is all kinds of really... And yes, exactly, Jack. Hulu is Disney's Vertigo. That is a great way to put it. So without the trident, which I love the trident in the Son of Satan comic book series. It was like awesome. And his sister, Anna, is... Satana. Not Zatanna as in from DC's comic books character, which starts with a Z. Satana as in like Satan with Anna at the end. Now, a lot of the show, it's 10 episodes. They go into a lot of character development, a lot of plot development, a lot of story development, a lot of all the stuff. It's like, ah, this is cool. Look at all these stuff and whatever. If you're wanting the comic book, you're not going to get the comic book. I was really hoping for the big reveal on the outfit and the horns and everything else. We didn't get that. We got some other cool stuff. And on its own, this show is awesome. I love it. It's got a variety of very, 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 very dark undertones that run through the entire show. The story is pretty well done. I mean, there's one or two episodes you could probably cut down and like say, hey, not so much needed, but it is okay. It is a good. It creates an ambiance and everything. So essentially throughout the entire show, Anna and Damon. Oh, yeah, by the way, his name is Damon Hellstrom. Damon's trying to cure his mom, who has been in a loony bin for most of their life. And Anna don't care shit about any of them. She wants to just say, hey, I just wish they don't die and get out of my face. The lady playing Anna, her name is Sydney Lemon. Damon is being played by Tom Austin. I don't really know any of these people in this show. I think I've maybe seen one or two of them in other things before. But they are a really good combination of different characters that really work together in a good story. They have great... synergy, great ambience working together. The story of Gabriella Rossetti, who is a nun/nun in training type thing. Her storyline throughout the threads in the episodes is actually quite fun. Another gentleman, a character named Chris Yen, who plays Anna's assistant in the art and dealers collecting side of things. He gets just like, whoa, right out in the weird stuff. I'm not going to say anything about the show episodes because saying much of anything throughout some of the episodes is kind of going to make little bits and pieces a little bit of the... It's got a lot of good foreshadowing. So if you watch the entire thing from beginning to end in sequence, without distractions and try not to like leave too much time between things, a lot of it will make just pure sense because it works within its own logic. The lady, okay, what was her name? Victoria. Yeah, Elizabeth Marvel. I liked her name too. Marvel, really? That's awesome. Plays a great insane mom. She's not actually insane. She's possessed by a demon. So a lot of it throughout the whole show is like, they just know that their father is a demon. They don't know, and I don't know if that's actually going to be part of the storyline as they go into season two, if they actually get into a season two, because I don't see any official confirmation yet. They don't necessarily know that their father is Satan, the devil, all of those other Beelzebuby type character names that might actually play. Now, there's a very special little thing at the very, very end of the last episode, and oh my God, I loved it. It was a excellent ending to the season. So it leaves it so open for so many different possibilities for a second season. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed the crap out of it. I think it's a really awesome, well-done show. I think everybody should watch it. So now I'm going to move on to something else that's a lot more, ooh, it's kind of Halloween-y. Actually, which one do I want to do? I can do A, B, or C, D. I got like 9 things to yap about today. So it's like, I'm going to have lots of stuff to talk about. I didn't even pull out trailers for the stuff that I watched just for fun that I've seen it before or not. It's just a variety of stuff that was new. It's all like most of the stuff I'm going to talk about is new. So I think this one we're going to do this one. Yeah. What the hell? Let's do this one.
Our subject today is Simon McNeil. He's a self-professed medium.
He's almost here.
For those of you that don't know, I recently lost my son, Miles. People like Simon like to prey on grief. Ready whenever you are.
I need complete darkness. Or rather, they do.
All the dead have stories. There is a place where these horrors are transcribed.
I'm not sure where I'm going. I felt like I was being followed.
We're headed to Ravenmoor. Is it a nice place?
No.
Here,
the dead. They're so much closer than you realize.
I wasn't planning on stopping. I just think I'm really tired.
You're safe here.
I just have a thing with noises. It's neurological. Would have probably been better if I just didn't stop taking the meds. Dear, I didn't mean to startle you.
And some bad shit happened to you. Urban decay. That's what happened.
We like to think everyone who stays here is family.
We all die. But sometimes the stories of our passing must be forever carved into our collective memory. But all stories end here.
And that one is a little old movie called The Books of Blood. And if you are familiar with Clive Barker material, you'll understand where that title comes from. I wrote a lovely little book there a little while ago called The Books of Blood. A variety of stories that have to do with kind of horrific things and things that happen in weird, odd, and individual places and stuff and whatever. So this is a much in the same style as Trick or Treat and what was the other one? There's a couple of other ones. It's a vignette type style movie. So there's basically three storylines going on. One about a young girl who's trying to find herself and has issues that she's trying to assess and deal with. Another one is about, a psychiatrist and the paranormal kind of dude that has an impact on her life that just doesn't go the way you kind of expect it to do. Creepshow, yes, that's another good one. Tales from the Dark Side, well, that was a TV show, but yeah. No, I was trying to remember another one. Yeah, actually, Trick or Treat was the main one I was trying to remember for a vignette style. Because the way it works is you have a beginning of a story, it goes into a little bit, then you have the one girl's story goes on, and then you have the other, psychiatrist story going on, and then you have the mobster story going on, and you have these little bits and pieces that show up between throughout the entire movie, and then they kind of wrap up towards the end. And it's a really well done style. Now, with a title like Books of Blood, you might think, oh, look, it's going to be gore and splatter all over. Not a gory movie at all. There is some bloody type stuff, but it seems to be, I guess you could call it moderate and not necessarily over the top casting things like some of the other movies I like to watch. Haha, if you listen to my show, you'll know I watch some really gory, bloody movies. So, people who are the main characters, Britt Robinson, Frida Foshen, I really probably don't think I pronounced that properly, Nicholas Campbell, Anna Friel, Rafi Gavron, Yul Vasquez, Andy McQueen, Kenji Fitzgerald, a bunch of other people. I'm not really familiar with most of these people. I think I may have, like the last movie, I've seen one or two of them in other stuff. But I really like this movie. I thought it was really well done. It's got a lot of good, definitely not bathed in strawberry syrup. It's got a lot of good creepy elements. It's story turns that just sort of think, oh, you think it's going to go? No, it didn't do that. It went actually a different way. And it's really effective. I think they pull it together with some good elements that, oh my gosh, they really did that to that person. Ah, or oh my gosh, that person didn't get that. What? Kind of things. A really solid type of movie. Now, I've heard other people say that they didn't really like it, but then there's also a lot of people who have higher expectations and things that go in different directions. I mean, some people are looking for a movie called Books of Blood that's splatter all over the place, and that wasn't this movie. So a lot of movies, when I approach them, I like to approach them without having any preconceived notions that says, hey, I want to see a big splattery movie, or hey, I want to see an Alfred Hitchcock scary psychological movie. A lot of variety of things to go with, and I mean, it's like, that's all good. So I recommend it highly, and I'm going to flip to the next one, because somebody said, hey, why don't we do something Halloween-y? Well, I have a Halloween movie to put on, so I'm going to do that one now.
Well, hello, my ghouls and goblins. I know you've got your costumes picked out for the frightful festivities. And I hope you all get more treats than tricks.
Halloween's upon us!
Is he a good guy?
Hubie Dubois is the nicest guy in this town.
Give him some happy Halloween word churches. You can pass it out to the kids.
Thank you so much.
As a trained volunteer, I know what it's like when your spooky fun gets out of hand.
Officer Steve, the supermarket's selling expired bacon. Janet at the library has not been herself lately. I heard a voice in the sewer.
I'm sorry, I didn't recognize
him. It's pretty impressive how long he's been a loser.
Messing with Shoopy Dubois.
Murder!
The Salem tradition.
You gotta expect a scare here or there.
There's something off in this town.
Is your neighbor? Oh.
Mr. Lambert? Is that you?
Oh, no.
Salem PD?
Yes, officer. This is Hubie Dubois.
People are strange when you're a stranger.
faces look good. Shalem needs me.
What are you going to do, Mr. Dubois?
We're going to do every October 31st. Make sure every CDC is protected.
No one in Shalem is safe tonight.
So would you lose your thermos?
Oh, that'll never happen.
Anyway.
We got an unsolved mystery here.
Dope.
Cuba!
I know who did this.
Not now, UB.
Mayor,
I suggest we cancel Halloween immediately.
We ain't canceling a damn thing.
This is some Dateline NBC shit.
You're the best person I know. That's why you're a hero.
Not cool.
Hello.
El marido, help me, Larry. Help me. Help me.
So that was Hubie, Hubby. I think it's Hubie Halloween. And the best way to describe that is that's an Adam Sandler Halloween movie on Netflix. I don't know, whatever else you want to say about it, but it's got a bunch of guest stars. Kevin James, who's always in every Adam Sandler movie he plays, Julie Bowen, again, every Adam Sandler movie he ever plays, Ray Liotta, Steve Buscemi, Rob Schneider, Maya Rudolph, Tim Meadows, Michael Chiklis, June Squibb, I didn't really remember her, George Wallace, Kenan Thompson, Shaquille O'Neal shows up in a surprising appearance, Ben Stiller, and Jackie Sandler. Wait, really? Interesting. A lot of Adam Sandler's movies in the last few years, I've not been really a big fan. His first couple of movies, I enjoyed the crap out of because they seemed fresh. They were fun. They were. He was probably still getting used to the whole idea. It's like, hey, I can make funny shit. And it was funny. This movie is a tongue-in-cheek. It's some people are probably going to be offended by it because it sounds like he's... making fun of people with learning disabilities. And that's not the case because he becomes the hero through the movie. And it's like, hey, be strong, be fast, be good. And you go through and get to the end of the game and you get all the winnings and stuff and all that stuff. So it is a dumb movie. It is a basically mindless, turn your brain off and just watch it and have some giggles. It's a popcorn movie, whatever other word you want to call it. Okay, time waster. All of these terms really, truly well and apply. It is not going to change anybody's future in the world. It is not going to make the world a better place or anything like that. It's just an amusing little movie about Hubie, who has an extraordinarily strong affinity for Halloween. And as a result... he takes that very strongly and brings it through every element of his life through the entire movie. So I was like, do I recommend it highly? No, I recommend it lightly to enjoy it as a little bit because it's just plain goofy fun. That's it. That's all. It's all you do with it. And then you move on to the next thing, which tonight is going to be... which one should it be next? I don't know. I think... Ooh, that one. Yeah, that one. That one's a good one.
Don't move.
Let me see it.
Don't move, Amy.
Let me see it.
Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
That's super sweet, because it's terrible.
Where have you been, Joel?
Amy, I love you. I'm gonna come find you.
The day of the monster uprising was the day I lost everyone. Only a small fraction of humanity survived and moved underground. I've been scanning for Amy the entire time. And now I finally found her.
Joel!
Hey!
Joel!
Amy, is that you?
Oh my God!
Hey! How far away is Amy's colony?
85 miles. It's an impossible journey. Everyone will try to kill you. Don't fight. Just run and hide.
Okay.
You really got me going. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing.
You all alone? Me too. You don't have to talk about it. You wanna come with me?
Look at him!
Is that a samurai sword?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is. Listen to your instincts out here, man.
What if I have terrible instincts?
You'll die.
Super encouraging speech.
You made it all this way for a girl, huh? You ever hear the term fool's errand?
No!
Amy, I miss you so much.
We have lost this war.
We could still take our world back.
You're more of a survivor than I thought.
Oh, I feel like Tom Cruise.
And that was an interesting little movie called Love and Monsters. It was a surprising movie for me because I kind of figured, it's going to be stupid. It's going to be one of these dumb romantic things, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it's not actually. It's a fun monster movie. So the love interest thing is just a part of the storyline where it's like, okay, yeah, his girlfriend. They were making out in the beginning of the movie. And then, bam, asteroid comes in and essentially infects the entire planet with a mutagen that causes all sorts of critters to just mutate into giant monsters, which is always fun for me because I love giant monsters. Giant monsters are pant loads of fun and planet loads of fun, too, as it turns out. Now, most of the people in this movie, again, didn't really know any of them. After watching it for a bit and then seeing the one lady who plays the character Amy, I realized, oh, crap. Jessica Henwick. I didn't actually remember that name until I actually looked it up. But I remembered her because she plays Colleen Wing in the Defenders and Luke Cage series in the Marvel MCU universe. Oh, see? Everybody's connected in this stuff. Basic storyline is Joel, the main character, is kind of out of sorts because he's stuck in a bunker with a whole bunch of other people who he's been stuck in for 7 years now, and they're trying to survive, and he realizes he can't do anything more. He's just the cook in that bunker and doesn't have really much of a purpose. He's been trying to find his girlfriend for the last 7 years, and he finally finds, oh, hey, she's over there. Great. So he's decided, I'm going to put my stuff together, and I'm going to go out and find her. And then fun and hilarity ensues with a bunch of monsters and a bunch of other, mostly monsters, actually. Some interesting, really cool monsters. Different variations on a giant frog monster, a couple of giant insect monsters, some really neat monsters. And that is essentially the bottom crux of the movie. Fun, neat monsters. Is it mind-blowingly awesome? No, but they did a really, really good job with the monsters. That's why the movie is called Love and Monsters. So, as the movie is unfolding, and another gentleman shows up, it's like, oh yeah, of course, Michael Rooker's in this movie too. Not for a large part of the movie, but enough few scenes to be like, yeah, he's in the movie. He's got third billing on IMDb and in the movie credits itself. So, that one is available on Amazon Prime. I recommend watching it. It's good. It's a good mindless fun movie with monsters. Lots of monsters. So many monsters. They're just fun. I love monsters, you know? You can't really see me doing this, but I crinkle up my nose. It's like, I love monsters. Monsters are awesome because they represent so many different things that you can do inside of a movie. So where did I have that? There we go. I had that over there. So we'll move that over there now because I have now talked about it. Aha! Huzzah! Blah, blah. Now, we're going to do one here that I don't think anybody's probably going to know. So I'm going to play it anyways.
Well, you've heard, haven't you?
We've been hunting wolves for years. Most folks turn permanently. Others return to being human the next day. Last one we had like that escaped recently.
Did my other book come in yet?
There you go. Hope you don't mind. I read some of it.
What'd you think?
I don't really believe in the supernatural stuff.
Maybe what some consider supernatural is simply unexplained scientific phenomena. Okay, everybody, it's closing time.
Jessica came into my store with some of her friends. She assaulted me.
How?
You gonna cry now?
I ain't soft, nobody got hit.
You seem to have a bit of an attitude problem.
She put her hands on me too, Mom.
Well, maybe you're the one that committed assault, huh, Lisa?
Why don't you tell me what really happened?
I'd rather not.
Make sure you finish the lesson.
I'll never feel whole again. They're gonna suffer.
Now, as you can tell by the howls in the background of that trailer, that this is definitely, it's got creatures in it. And in this particular case, that means werewolves. Now, one of the interesting things is the werewolves are kind of like not the whole story. You don't get to see a lot of transformations. I think there's only one transformation scene. And I think there's like maybe only two or three actual real scenes with real werewolves in it. Now, this movie doesn't exactly have the biggest production value nor the biggest budget and none of that stuff. But what I really liked about the movie was the excerpt that says what the story of the movie was. A sadistic small town sheriff and her underlings brutalize Lisa and leave her for dead in the woods. Bitten by a werewolf and bestowed with supernatural abilities, can Lisa retain her humanity as she exacts revenge? It's a good story. The idea behind it is like actually really pretty cool. A lot of it has been done before. I mean, somebody when I posted it on Facebook said, "Oh, so it's like I Spit on Your Grave, sorry, but with hair." And yes, I guess you could say that that is a fairly true assessment. and it is actually not a bad movie. It's probably not very high ranked. Actually, now that I look at it, it didn't have a very high ranking on the thing. But if you like werewolf movies in general, and you like general kinds of horror paranormal type stories, this is actually a pretty good one. And it's one of those interesting... Sorry, I had a thing going on, so I just have to stop for a second there. It's interesting. It's fun. It's really enjoyable. So I'm going to play a musical interlude now and then come right back.
But you couldn't find the door, could you? Could you? Well, I'm standing in the sun, I'm living in the rain. I gotta get a word in like a human hurricane over you. Over you. Now you're looking like a fox on the run. And you're faster than a shot from a gun. I'm pointing at you. Like you're hot on the scene. Don't you love to steal a part? love in store. You keep on knocking on every door. Babe, I've seen it all before. You keep on knocking on every door. Ain't no sugar you ignore. You keep on knocking on every door. Keep knock, knocking on every door. You keep on knocking on every door. I thought we used to have love in store. You keep on knocking on every door. Hey, babe, don't run around no more. You keep on knocking on every door. Ain't no sugar you ignore. You keep on knocking on every door. Keep knock, knocking on every door. You keep on knocking on every door.
You better learn your lesson now.
As was pointed out before I went to a musical break there, I did not indicate what the name of the werewolf movie was. And that was actually called I Am Lisa. Now, I was reading a couple of the reviews on the online. A lot of people did not like it because they thought it was bad. I was like, if you go into a movie that's low budget and not expect it to be potentially one way or the other, if you don't look for the good, sparkly, shiny things, you're always going to be missing out on some fun stuff. So I had to go and do the musical interlude because I thought there were demons at my door knocking and trying to get in. And it was like making a ruckus. And I had to go and it's like, shut up. I'm doing a show here. Don't bother me. I got stuffs to do, man. Stuffs. Now, the next movie I'm going to talk about is more of a, it's actually not, well, it's kind, it's a different kind of horror story. You know what? Let's just go right into it.
When you go to Google and type in climate change is, you're going to see different results depending on where you live and the particular things that Google knows about your interests.
That's not by accident, that's a design technique.
What I want people to know is that everything they're doing online is being watched, is being tracked. Every single action you take is carefully monitored and recorded.
A lot of people think Google's just a search box and Facebook's just a place to see what my friends are doing. What they don't realize is there's entire teams of engineers whose job is to use your psychology against you.
I was the co-inventor of the Facebook like button.
I was the president of Pinterest.
Google. Twitter. Instagram.
There were meaningful changes happening around the world because of these platforms.
I think we were naive about the flip side of that coin.
We get rewarded by hearts, likes, thumbs up. And we conflate that with value, and we conflate it with truth.
A whole generation is more anxious, more depressed.
I always felt like fundamentally it was a force for good. I don't know if I feel that way anymore.
Facebook discovered that they were able to affect real-world behavior and emotions without ever triggering the user's awareness. They are completely clueless.
Fake news spreads 6 times faster than true news.
We're being bombarded with rumors.
If everyone's entitled to their own facts, there's really no need for people to come together. In fact, there's really no need for people to interact.
We have less control over who we are and what we really believe.
If you want to control the population of your country, there has never been a tool as effective as Facebook.
We built these things and we have a responsibility to change it.
The intention could be, how do we make the world better?
If technology creates mass chaos, loneliness, more polarization, more election hacking, more inability to focus on the real issues,
we're toast.
This is checkmate on humanity.
So, as most people who know me, and I'm sure I feel like I know a lot of you, and a lot of you know me because, hey, my voice comes on every once in a while on Wednesday nights, and you know some stuff about me. I don't actually normally watch a lot of documentaries, and this one caught my attention for a bit because I just flipped it on for a second. Like, I was bored. I wanted to watch something, and I watched, like, whoa, this is actually smart stuff. This is stuff going on in the world, and wow. They had some eye-opening stuff about how a lot of the social media platforms work. I mean, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of these things, and a few others that they mentioned too that I'm not on or don't really care about. But it's interesting how in today's world, the world has changed an awful lot in regards to the way that we interact digitally. One of the things that I really enjoyed about the way that the movie was working was that as they were talking about some of the things that were in play and behind the scenes stuff in the way that Google, Facebook, and other things operate, they actually had a movie within the movie bit that was actually two or three of them that was kind of showcasing how that would work in a real life. So one of the gentlemen who's playing one of the young kids, Ben, who's actually a lot older than he comes across in the show, or sort of movie, Skylar Gazondo is in one of my favorite shows, Santa Clarita Diet. And as soon as I saw his face on there, it's like, oh crap, I know that kid. I know that kid. And then I had to figure that out and enjoy it. But a lot of this movie is about people who are actually in the various different social medias at different levels, different moments in the past over time. I mean, YouTube, Facebook, Google, Instagram, Twitter, more of those same. Well, NVIDIA. Okay, great. All sorts of other stuff. Harvard, Stanford, New York University, a bunch of stuff. And they're talking about some of the real world impacts of how some of these things have changed the way that we, how society is evolving. And if you're a fan of history, which I am, if you're a fan of psychiatry, which I am, and amongst many other things, there's a lot of elements to what they're discussing and showing. For example, one of the coolest, it's actually one of the saddest slash coolest things that they're demonstrating is the one young girl. She's doing a moment where she's taking a selfie. She's adding the effect. She's making all this work to make it look very nice, very pretty. And she posts it. And then automatically, right off the bat, she gets some likes. It's, oh my God, you're pretty, and a very positive reinforcements. And then she gets one really negative. It's like, oh my God, you're fat. And it's like, then the young girl is sad, goes to the bathroom, and you can see in her eyes she's contemplating suicide because one idiot decides to post on social media something negative. And that is a very destructive methodology that is employed by some of this stuff. And it's not necessarily something that's being used as a overt means to really make people feel bad, but it happens in the exact same way that there was people who put things on there and just make very people feel very positive. And I think it's very interesting that as a society, we're evolving, and these evolutions come out in very many different ways. And I'd like to see more positive things evolving as a result of it. And that's why I think this movie documentary is actually very effective in communicating what they're showing, how some of these social networks evolve and have been evolving to monetize your interaction online, and how you and how the rest of society are affected by how all of these things change and how all of them keep moving forward at light speed. It's interesting. I mean, some people would say they hate this stuff. I have a friend of mine who says that if he wanted to watch this movie, he would be very, very angry. And I was like, yep, you would be very, very angry watching this movie, because it's going to show you things that you, being a little bit of a conspiracy theory guy over there, would just reinforce all of your conspiracy theories to the max. But at the same time, looking at these things, it's like, oh, that's interesting stuff. That's how I looked at it. So now, getting out of the serious commentary type things, let's go to something that's completely not serious whatsoever.
Captain's Log. Stardate 57436.2. First contact is a delicate, high-stakes operation of diplomacy. One must be ready for anything.
Are you pretending to do a captain's log?
We're all supposed to keep logs.
Okay, let me listen to it.
No, go away. Leave me alone.
I can't believe you're wasting your shore leave on this.
Whoa.
This is the greatest ship I've ever seen.
Hey, you, brain girl.
Pump this. Don't pass out.
Oh. Sorry.
I'm good at exploring strange new worlds and solving space mysteries.
Let's see what I got assigned.
Holodeck waste removal.
That's Klingon prison stuff.
Whoop. Whoop. Whoop.
Ensign, do you see a captain's chair in your future?
I hope so, ma'am. Hey, if I part my hair like this, do I look more promotable or less?
The Cerritos might be falling apart, but that's our job to keep it together.
Prince, you are a natural-born warrior.
Okie dokie.
And we're here?
No, we're actually way down here.
Keep it moving, Lower Decks.
Next!
My senior staff are always up for a challenge.
Nothing like a cold beer after a smooth second contact.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah!
It is better down here, where the real action is.
We're gonna surf side by side.
An elite team.
We're not really elite. We're more like the cool, scrappy underdogs.
We are so getting fired for this.
Attention all decks! Lives are at stake. But our crew is ready and focused.
Ooh, this is the new shuttle with the blast shield!
It's a blast shield,
it.
It's a blast
it
shield. And it comes
works
down and it goes up.
Blast
shield!
Stop it.
We live on a spaceship. Nobody is dying from a spear wound. Hang in there, you got this.
Space, the funnest frontier?
Long-range sensors have located a very sexy...
Oh, no! Definitely
yes,
no! No!
It.
No to
stop
this and also
it
that!
Oh, you almost phasered me!
Calm down, it's set to... It was set to stun.
Yeah, it was set to stun. Perfectly harmless. Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah, it was definitely set to stun. You're safe. So that was Star Trek's Lower Decks. What can I say about that show? I enjoyed the crap out of it. Thought it was funny. Is totally irreverent. And is exactly the kind of Star Trek I've been waiting to see for a long time. Take all that serious stuff, put a little bit of it back into the show, but make a lot of it funny. Take all those elements of like Stripes and all the underdog movies, whatever, Police Academy, all those things, slap it together, put Star Trek label on it, and change it all up. One of the funniest things about that show is that Jonathan Frakes, who plays Captain William T. Riker in the original series of Star Trek stuff, reprises his role as a guest appearance on the show in the one episode towards the end. And Q... John Delancey, who played the Q in the regular series of Star Trek, is insane and awesomely funny in this show. Now, also, a fun other character who plays in this regularly is, where's his name? Where did he go? I like this guy. He's been funny. He's been in things that I enjoy. Jerry O'Connell as Commander Jack Ransom. He's over the top. Yes, I'll call it politely and say that he's over the top. Enjoyable. Very enjoyable. But he plays characters that are off the beaten path, not just normal kinds of characters. Everybody else in this show, I don't really know them from anything else other than just this show. Oh, wait, I think I know that person. Wait a sec, let me double check. Do I know this person? Have I seen them in stuff? I probably have. But sometimes, by the way, I don't know if you all know or not, but YouTube is broken right now. It's not working properly. Not that I'm actually looking up YouTube right now. Weirdly, that's not coming up. Why not? Oh, well, whatever. Let's try something else. That too is not. Oh, there we go. I don't know who he is, but that's okay. And I agree with Evie in the chat room. Actually, she doesn't know that since Sliders, he also did a series of the one Piranha movie where he's got a certain claim to fame that his man junk is represented in 3D on that movie after they cut it off and let the piranhas eat it. Wah! Nope, don't know that person. But she's been in other stuff that I've seen. So... there's a lot of inside jokes, Star Trek based. If you don't watch Star Trek, don't enjoy Star Trek at all, you are not going to get this show a lot, but you can still have fun and enjoy what they do show as the jokes, because a lot of its own internal logic plays through just as funny throughout the rest of the show. But it would be more effective if you actually knew some of the Star Trek stuff and could get some of the other real Star Trek jokes, like, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it, he's just getting all the salt off you. Yeah, that's not creepy at all. Yeah. So one of the young ladies who plays the one character, Noelle Wells, in this show, steals every scene she's got. She's perky. She's got that, oh my God, it's amazing. This is the best ship I've ever been on. Yeah. She got that voice. It's annoying, but it's fun and it's endearing. So it's like in the exact same way that you have, I can't remember her name in Star Trek Discovery. Damn it. The redhead. Jack, help me out if you can hear this before I go on and move on to the next thing. But she's, and a lot, as Evie says, a lot like my squirrel voice. The exact same type of idea. It's cute. It's funny. And it's perfectly inappropriate in many different points that it's like, that shit's funny. So I enjoyed. I recommend highly for anybody who wants a little bit of light humor and still be a little sci-fi Star Trek. So now we're going to go on to something that is completely inappropriate, but still enjoyable.
Butcher, what happened?
My wife. She's alive. Vought's holding the gift of somewhere. And right now, we're in a little bit of trouble.
Are you fucking with us?
Listen, this is a fucking mess. We're the most wanted lads in the country. We got soup terrorists. And we got no superheroes.
Hi! I'm Stormfront.
Who?
I'm the new girl.
Wonderful.
So what's your big plan?
We'll take them, Vought.
There we go.
And I get my wife back.
We're in. Of course we're in.
We blow it up in the air.
More super terrorists will come. For all we know, these maniacs could be waiting for their chance to kill us all.
Who the fuck are you?
I'm just trying to help.
Really? How?
We are in a war, but we can fight back with an army of supermen, millions strong. Now, don't be a pussy. Laser my fucking tits.
1, 2, 3, hit it!
She's got a whole army of soups.
We gossed on her.
All right, what do?
We can't just kill everyone.
That's exactly what we're gonna do.
Oh, great.
Cool. Totally.
1, 2, 3, hit it!
I need some power!
Power! Damn it! 1, 2, 3, hit him, Superman!
We just need to keep our shit together. A little bit.
Longer.
Yeah, you guys go ahead. I'm good.
All right, hands in the air like you just don't care. Kill.
So that was the trailer for season 2 of The Boys. Now, I'm going to flat out tell you, it's very inappropriate to a younger audience, as there were some dialogue elements there that would normally be bleeped out, but fluff it. I'm not going to bleep that stuff out. I enjoyed the crap out of that show. It was awesome. And it, mind you, one of the reasons it's awesome is because of how it is taking a very specific view on current events in the world, in the way that certain elements of racism is approached. And I absolutely loved how that was taken care of. And no, it's not Jensen Ackles in the trailer. Actually, I don't think he's even in the show at all. Pretty sure he's not in the show at all. I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that he's not in the show at all. Yeah, pretty sure. But then I don't know, he might be, actually, you know what, that'd be interesting. Let's see if he's one of the guest appearances in the cast. I don't think so, but let's see. Oh, he was Soldier Boy. Yeah, that's not a real guest appearance, that's just one toony little thing. Okay, so I would have been wrong on that. And there we go. So there are a ton of guest appearances in this show as well. Now, just not even just the guest appearances, the main characters. Aya Cash as Stormfront is like, what the hell? Seriously? That's awesome. Colby Minifee as Ashley Barrett throughout the hook. And everybody in this show playing the roles that they play there, I think did an awesome delivery job on it. From the guy playing, what the hell? I can never remember people's names. Carl Urban playing Billy Butcher. Phenomenally well done, over the top kind of character. He comes really close to the comic book and at the same time doesn't. He looks a little less beefy than the comic book, but at the same time, he's just absolutely got the same attitude. Huey Campbell being played by Jack Quaid. Great, awesome job. Anthony Starr doing Homelander. Oh my God, he's the guy you want to see fall down in his face in the mud every single time, but you know he's probably not. Dominique McElligott playing Queen Maeve. She's awesome. I like her. She's such a broken character, but then at the end redeems herself. Great. Karen Fukuhara, who's playing... In the comic book, she's just called The Girl. In the show, she's called Kimiko Miyashiro. They didn't really actually give her a name in the comic book. It was just she was always The Girl because she doesn't speak, and it wasn't because she didn't want to talk that she'd learned her own language or whatever like they do in the show. It was she just couldn't talk for whatever reason. So most of the other people playing in this show, the different scenes, I don't want to say anything because like it gives stuff away and it's like, oh my God, the whole elements that they just, oh my God, those elements are just awesome. The shape changer guy, and oh my God, that was just so wrong. And what happened to the whale? Oh my God, just so wrong. And I swear to God, what the hell was it? Would you like a Fresca? It's just code word throughout the whole movie. Would you like a Fresca? No, man, I'm off that stuff. It was fun, very bloody. Heavy sexual overtones, not necessarily all of them positive or body encouraging. There is some really nasty stuff that they showed in this movie. And some of the blood and guts, you'd think a movie like Books of Blood had blood and guts. Nah, didn't even have a drop compared to the amount of blood and guts in this show. But I liked it. That's fun. It's definitely, as I said earlier, not for the kiddies. But worth the watch. Yeah. Now, one more show that we're going to talk about. In the couple of minutes I got left, so let's play the trailer.
Gather round, children. The Earth was destroyed by a great war. I was programmed to protect you. And now we start again. Does anyone know the story of the three little pigs? The first little pig built a house out of straw. The second little pig built a house out of sticks. But the third little pig, he built a house out of stone. Wolf came along and said, little pig, let me in, or I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
The big bad wolf she was talking about.
So that is Raised by Wolves. What the heck do I want to call it? It is an awesome science fiction extravaganza. It's a show about two androids who have been reprogrammed to raise a new generation of humanity out in the way far reaches of space beyond the scope of the wars that have destroyed the world. Mother Earth, as it were. So this is a executive producer by Ridley Scott, which you will know from Aliens and a bunch of other awesomely wonderful sci-fi type movies. And this show embraces a bunch of ideas that are kind of odd. One of the things that I would be pointing out right off the bat, because it's a fact that keeps staring me in the face on every type show that I ever see that has anything about post-apocalypse and blah, 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 blah. They are trying to raise 6 kids to rebuild humanity. I'm sorry, but it takes more than 6 kids. But without all of that, because obviously every story begins with a certain level of logic and begin and blah, 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 blah. It's just a really cool show. I mean, the layers that are built into it, the storylines, the elements as it's developing, it's like, oh my God, you get these oh my God moments later on as the show is progressing. The very first episode had me hooked right off the bat. It was, there was just so many really cool things about it. The production quality, the acting, the dialogue, the characters that were playing everything. Later on, you have Travis Fimmel, who plays Marcus, who you probably know from Vikings. We have, I'm not going to pronounce this gentleman's name properly. Abu Bakar? Actually, I think that's right. Salim, who plays father, and Amanda Collin, who plays mother. They're the two androids. And then there's a bunch of kids and whatever else. Now, the story doesn't fully progress. I mean, it's just the first chapter in a whole story arc. And they have signed on for a season 2, but who knows when that'll be. COVID is going to prevent it. A lot of things being done. But it is some messed up stuff. Yeah, even I say it's messed up, and I've seen some really messed up stuff. See, even Micro Squirrel says it's messed up. But it's messed up in a really, really cool way. In a different... It's got scope and it's got depth, and it's like it feels like it's got a lot of layers built into how it all does, and it's really well done. That's really the most thing I can say about it. There are so many really cool bits that happen throughout all of the episodes that I don't want to pinpoint any one of them specifically and say, hey, that one, that's the one that made me say this was cool. Because pretty much the entire thing makes me want to say, this was cool. So, I highly recommend. And on that very note, I am going to pretty much come wrap up tonight's episode. Oh, by the way, if you want to know what the musical intermezzo was, it was Roxette knocking on every door. Which was funny, because as I said, that I played when I thought somebody was knocking at my door. It's just a weird coincidence there. So, thank you all for coming out again. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Tomorrow, next week's episode, we will have Lisa de Savoy, who will be a guest, and she is a creator and hardworking individual who is responsible for a old style punk zine called Crap Nation. She's also involved with a few other things in different various entertainment type stuff. And she is a lovely person who will talk many, many cool things about other stuff. That will be next week. What date would that? November 18th. So come back again every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, whatever time you enjoy whatever you did. That's good too, but it's 9 p.m. my time, so that's why I'm always going to go by. Find us on the Facebook, find us on the Twitter, find us on the Instagram, and any of the other things that end up copying whatever I do and say, because ha ha ha, I am worthwhile to do that, etc. So have yourselves an amazing after rotten good time. Be well, be happy, and do all the things that you need to do to be able to stay sane.